we do try and graduate our students in 4 years. Do have a 100% graduation rate here in Ingleside ISD right now, which we are very proud of. It takes a lot of hard work from our not only our students, but our parents and our teachers and our administrators and counselors. And, you know, our biggest thing is just providing those opportunities, because when we want our kids to leave Ingleside ISD, we want them to go out into the world prepared to be successful.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my very special guest today is Scott Kilgore. Scott is the superintendent of Ingleside ISD, and I have to tell you, I am so excited because he is in my backyard. Ingleside is a community that's just right outside of Corpus Christi, and I had a crazy day today, and I logged in to do the show. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Scott, we're neighbors. So Scott, I am so excited to have you here today.
Thank you, Janet. It is an honor to join you today and to talk about our great district here in Ingleside.
Yeah, and it is a great district. I do know that. I've heard nothing but good things about your district, by the way. So tell us what's going on there.
Well, you know, here in Ingleside, we are a relatively small community along the Gulf Coast, just north of Corpus Christi. We have roughly 2,000 students in our district, and one of the things that sets us apart from other districts is we are a very heavy industry district. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of local industry dealing with oil and gas. You have different energy production companies that are literally sitting in our backyard. So as a district, we have over the years really taken pride in preparing our students to join that local workforce. We have in our community, we have a lot of students who are fourth or fifth or sixth generation Ingleside students. We have strong family atmosphere here in our district. In fact, our motto for our district is come be part of the family. And really enjoy this little small town feel, but we're doing big city things in terms of preparing our students to go out and be successful in the world.
Awesome. I'll tell you, that's one of the things that we've been, I was telling you before the show, we've been in Corpus, my husband and I moved down here. I tell people we're failed snowbirds. We came down to be snowbirds and we never left. And I think that's the first time I've said that on the show, but it's such a nice size. This community, it's, you get some of the big city, but, and you can have some of those, but you don't have to be like, ugh, big city, right?
No, it is great because we are, you know, we're blessed with a very supportive community. In fact, one of the things that is very unique about our school district is all 7 of my school board members, which are fantastic, are actually alumni of Ingleside ISD.
Wow. Yeah.
And I have school board members who are in their 70s all the way down into their 40s and 50s. And, you know, the fact that they have kids or grandkids in the district, and all of them actually graduated from our school district, just really brings that sense of belonging, that sense of family. You know, we have a lot of our employees here in our district are alumni of Ingleside ISD as well. And what's special for me is I have several employees throughout the district who I actually, when I was a teacher here and a coach here in the early 2000s, they were my students, and now they're working for me, and they have kids of their own in our district. So it's really that sense of belonging and that sense of family that we really like to elaborate on here about in Ingleside ISD.
Awesome. So, and you're doing some stuff with career and technical education. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So, you know, with us being a heavy industry district in terms of our tax base, we have, you know, these big oil refineries, we have, you know, different marine industries. And so what we try and do is prepare our students and give them that opportunity to explore those different industrial jobs and different opportunities that are out there in our community while they're in high school. Here in Ingleside, you know, we push college and we want our students to go to college or the military, but we also know that not every kid wants to go to college. And, you know, we want to provide every student an opportunity for success. And so we have really expanded our CTE programs and given our students choices over the last several years. You know, we are the only district in our region that offers millwright, right now. We started that last year, and that's kind of industrial fabrication and equipment repair. And that is actually a partnership with our local community college, where it's a dual credit class, and our kids are getting certified where when they graduate from high school, they can go out into the local workforce and make a really good living being a millwright. We also offer industrial instrumentation. We offer process technology. Our welding department is one of the best in all of South Texas. In 2021, we built a brand new state-of-the-art welding facility with 28 welding bays where we can house students with state-of-the-art equipment and get them certified to be welders when they graduate high school and then go out and make six figures straight out of high school in that industry. But we also know industry isn't everything. So we offer other opportunities. We have a very robust engineering program. We have a lot of students who are involved in engineering. They get involved in robotics. We're starting to explore a little bit in drones and computer coding with that. We also offer culinary. And then one of our biggest programs is our health science program. So we have students that, you know, they become certified phlebotomists or EKG technicians while they're in high school. Wow. So as they go into either further their education or go into the workforce, they have those certifications where they can get a good paying job in the medical field.
Right out of high school. Right out of high school. That's fantastic. Yeah, that's so, so great. So what would you say is probably one of your biggest challenges when it comes to all of that?
I think the biggest challenge in terms of as an educator in our current educational system and how accountability lines up with Texas public schools, we're asking students at 14 years old to basically decide what pathway they want to take for the rest of their life. You know, I'm in my late 40s and I don't even know what I want to do when I grow up. And, you know, it's hard to ask a high school student like, hey, you really like welding. So we're going to put you on this pathway. And, you know, in order for us as a school district to get, you know, all of the credit and to get all of the funding that we need to continue to operate these programs, you have to stick with that pathway your entire high school career. You have to complete it or you have to take so many classes. Well, you know, a 14-year-old, they don't always know that.
When you change your mind. Yeah. What if I change? Because I did. I certainly did.
Yes, me too.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a parent as well, you know, I have four kids of my own. I didn't expect them. I want them to experience things, right, in high school and know what they want their future to look like. So our biggest challenge is how are we going to give all of our students the knowledge to make the best decision for them, but also stay in those guidelines where, you know, we are helping the district out in terms of getting those students to complete a program and getting those certifications. And so that has been a challenge, but I think we've taken some necessary steps and done some really good things in our district to educate not only our kids, but their parents on what opportunities are out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's not like when you and I went to high school, that's for sure. It was like, my biggest thing was I wanted to drop calculus cause I hated it. And that was my biggest concern.
Yes.
My guidance counselor didn't want me to drop it. And I was like, I'm never going to use this and I hate it. So and I was a straight A student. So let me go. Yeah. Different,
yes,
different, definitely a different world. So, but everything is becoming faster and sooner. And yeah, and we do need to let kids be kids, right?
Yes. Yes. And that's one of the things that we're very proud of. We actually last year started a careers class at our middle school where all of our middle school 7th and 8th graders take kind of a career investigations and a general employability. And what they do is they actually learn about all of the different pathways we offer at our high school. And so they take part of each semester and they learn about what the industry pathways look like and then what the health science pathways look like. So we're introducing them at that middle school age to the different opportunities in hopes that at the high school level, they've kind of got at least that general idea of what they want to study and to prevent them from, you know, always changing. Mm-hmm. And then with that, we've also, you talk about, well, how are you teaching a middle school student to do welding or to, you know, to do a stick with a needle for phlebotomy or medical sciences? And so what we actually have started doing is incorporating virtual reality into that middle school program. And we purchased with some grant funds that we got from some local industry partnering with them. We were able to purchase virtual reality sets where our students can do everything from go on a field trip to the ancient pyramids to dissect a cadaver and you know, manipulate the different parts of the human body or build an airplane, all in a virtual reality setting, which generates that interest because, you know, kids hands-on, that visual appeal, that electronics, but it also helps guide them on what they would like to really do as they get older.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's so how many of a percentage, or I know you know, you have to, as a superintendent, be a numbers person, but how much of your students, or how many of your students, if I can answer the question, right, are taking these pathways?
So, you know, really all of our high school students, we try and get them into some type of CTE pathway.
Okay.
You know, some of them don't necessarily complete a pathway. And you know, we have those conversations where we really try and work with them and their parents and educate them on the different opportunities out there. But we do have approximately 85 to 90% of our students in one of those pathways.
Okay.
And, you know, now getting them all to complete that is something that we're ongoing each year. And those are having those conversations with counselors and teachers and parents. But we really want to open those doors for our kids and let them know, hey, these opportunities are out there. And, you know, you can get this certification. If you go to college, great. You don't have to stick with that. But at least while you're in high school, get some of those soft job skills and that exposure to the different opportunities that are in our local workforce community.
Do you have the option of a fifth year?
We don't really have that option of a fifth year. You know, we do try and graduate our students in 4 years. Okay. And we do have a 100% graduation rate here in Ingleside ISD right now, which we are very proud of. That takes a lot of hard work from our, not only our students, but our parents and our teachers and our administrators and counselors. And, you know, our biggest thing is just providing those opportunities, because when we want our kids to leave Ingleside ISD, we want them to go out into the world prepared to be successful.
For sure. Yeah. I didn't prep you for that question, so I hope I didn't throw you off with that one. But
no,
so here's another one. I'm a SPED person, you know, special education. So how do you handle that with your special education population?
Well, and I'm a former special education teacher myself. So, you know, that group of students, you know, the biggest thing about special education is we want to prepare them just as much as we prepare your general ed student, right?
Yeah.
We want to give them those opportunities and open those doors for them. So what we really focus on doing is working with those students and their parents through the ARD process, through setting their goals, and providing that information and those extra resources so that they can make the best decision for themselves and their students and develop a very comprehensive transition plan for when they leave high school and they either are going into further their education or going into the workforce.
There is a crisis in this country, a massive shortage of special education teachers. We know how devastating this can be for your students, families, and staff. Lighthouse Therapy places experienced special education teachers in virtual, hybrid, and on-site roles, and we handle everything from hiring to onboarding to mentorship. These aren't just placements, they're professionals who understand compliance, collaboration, and care. Let us help you fill in the gaps with special education teachers who really understand. We are here to help. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together to connect with us today. Awesome. Awesome. That is fantastic. I love that. It's where my heart is. You know, those kids are my heart. So it's always good to hear and see schools that just are embracing all aspects, all kids, right? That's what we want, is all kids. So beyond CTE, what would you say is probably one of the biggest challenges overall that you face?
I think besides CTE, the biggest challenge that we face in just, and I'm just using general in education right now, is attendance. You know, since COVID, since we've come back from COVID, school districts are fighting attendance, because we're used to before COVID, you know, attendance rates were generally pretty good. 95% or better was the norm, for your attendance rates. And now what we're seeing is a lot of school districts are anywhere from that 90 to 92, 93% attendance, which that sounds great. But as a public school and the way funding works out is if the kids aren't in school, the district's not getting funded. And, you know, we have to staff and pay the bills as if every kid's going to be here. And so really that communication piece with our parents and our students, like, yes, we understand when you're sick, stay home. We want you to get healthy. But if you just, you know, you're just not feeling it today, you still got to drag yourself to school and get that education. And, you know, it's because that's what's going to make you successful is overcoming those challenges. And
yeah, you're not going to learn if you're not there, right?
No, you're fine. And so that is one of the things that I think all school districts struggle with right now.
Yeah. And I've railed on the show about how schools are funded because it's crazy. It's upside down and backwards. I've gotten on my soapbox before about how they fund schools and it's insane. I mean, it's a really, really broken system. And I don't know. I don't have the answer to fix it, but I certainly want people that are not just educators to understand the challenge that that public schools are facing, because it is a major issue, and it's really it's one that you're stuck in a system that hasn't changed for a long time, and I'm prayerful that as people become more aware and people become more cognizant of what's happening in schools and how schools are getting funded, that somebody's got there's got to be some change. They're just testing.
No, the last legislative session, it helped. There were some benefits that public schools got with additional funding. And, you know, especially us living here along the coast, we face some real challenges with property insurance because of the windstorm.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was almost discriminatory because as a school district, you know, we were paying, just an example of us, over $1 million more per year than a similar district our size who was 100 miles inland.
Yeah.
And so that's money that's coming out of us being able to educate our students.
And it's no joke. Windstorm that's no joke. No. That's my highest insurance here as well.
Yep. We were spending approximately $1,300 per student on windstorm insurance in our district. And so, you know, those are real dollars, and those are local dollars that, you know, we collect in local tax base that we were having to spend not on educating our kids, but just on insuring our buildings.
Right.
And so, you know, the last legislative session helped. There's still some work to be done. And, but as a school, our job is to get kids ready for a successful future. And we're going to continue to do that no matter what.
Yeah. And that's the most beautiful thing about talking with me and with the podcast is talking about, it doesn't matter. I have seen it over and over and over again. It doesn't matter the struggles and the fight. Every single person that I have spoken to, and you just, Scott, so beautifully gave that example of, we're still doing it. We're still fighting this fight. Oh, that gives me chills. We're still fighting the fight. We're still working towards making sure no matter what happens, no matter how you fund us, no matter how many kids you give us, we're still fighting for your children to give them the best education that you possibly can. And that's the part that, man, it's just so amazing and beautiful to see. So thank you for saying that so eloquently, because it is. It's just amazing. And thank you for this time. I love the fact that that we've been able to have this conversation. Where do people go if they want to learn more about Ingleside and you, Scott?
So if they want to learn more about Ingleside, we do have a very robust social media. We do a lot of social media on our district Facebook page, which is Ingleside ISD. All of our campuses have their own Facebook pages as well, and we do try and engage our community through social media. We also update our website regular, which is ingleside ISD.org. you know, we post a lot of information. We like to communicate with our community, and we actually, when I became the superintendent a few years ago, we actually started our own district podcast. So we do each month we do different podcasts, and it's called Ingleside ISD Mustangs on the Mic. And I host it along with our communications director, and we do different things about our community, our schools. We have staff members on there. We have students on there. Sometimes we bring in city officials or legislators, and really just talk about how our school is doing and some of the telling our story.
Yeah.
And we're on Spotify and on YouTube, and
awesome.
And so we really try and engage the community and let them know about us and all the great things that we're doing here in our district.
Awesome. And Ingleside, for those of you that may not be in Texas, is with an I-N-G-L-E-S-I-D-E, because some people might want to put an E in it and it's an I. So I always want people to, because, you know, they might be watching it, they might be hearing it. So we want to make sure that you have that information. So one last question, and if you've listened to any of them, sometimes I ask it, sometimes I don't, but if you could miraculously change one thing, and it can't be money, because we all know money is it, everybody needs more money. But if you could miraculously change one thing in your job as a superintendent and never have to deal with it again, what would that one thing be?
It's kind of a tough question. I would think that if there was one thing that I could change, would be just the local control that school districts used to have that they no longer have. I feel that, you know, this is my 26th year in education now.
Mm-hmm.
And from when I started 26 years ago, and my story is not the same as many superintendents. I was a classroom teacher and a coach for over 20 years before I moved into administration. So I was in the classroom and I was, you know, on the fields with students and,
football. Were you a football coach?
I was a football coach. Yeah. I was an athletic director for a while.
Oh, nice.
And then, you know, then I moved into administration, but I think, and especially in my role now as superintendent, there's a lot of things that are, and I don't want to say they're all burdens, but there's a lot of things that are put on school districts that don't necessarily match the makeup of their community.
Mm-hmm.
That local control of where you have an elected school board who are members of the community, and they're supposed to give that guidance with the superintendent and the administration on the values of the community and what they want in their children's education. I feel that some of that has been clawed away from school districts by, you know, not only the state, but the federal government.
Yeah.
I feel that school districts are kind of losing their identity as a community because we're kind of all being fed in the same direction by our government.
Yeah.
It's not all bad. I mean, there's really some great things out there that the government has done with school districts. But there are some decisions that have been taken out of that local control that if I could change that, it would empower the local community more,
right,
in the school than the government.
Because that's where it started. That's where, you know, your one-room schoolhouse was the community. Yeah, it just, yeah, I hear that. I hear you. And as a bureaucracy tends to want to put all pegs into the same hole, and that's not, you know, what you guys do versus what somebody else does versus, you know, what Houston does or Dallas does or Vega does or whatever. You know, it's just. You can't. It doesn't. And yet you're expected to.
And as a former SPED teacher or a SPED, you know, special education, you can't. Not every kid is the same.
No.
Not every kid learns the same. And giving a school district the ability to do what's best for our kids,
yeah,
based on those local decisions, I think it'd be a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. And like we said earlier, we're going to continue to do what's best for kids.
Yeah. And change comes, but it's not quick. Unfortunately, the bigger the bureaucracy, the harder change is. And the harder it is, you can't turn a ship on a dime, unfortunately. So, but you know, that's what we're doing. We're working on it. We're as much as we can, we're trying to awareness and exactly with your podcast and what you guys are doing. I love that because the more people know, the more people listen and pay attention to what's happening in their community, the more you get involved, the more that you can really do. We really are able to make change in a positive way, hopefully. So I'm prayerful that for our education system and for our country, because it needs to happen. Things need to change. And so thank you for coming on. Thank you for telling your story. Thank you for being the amazing man that you are and the work that you've done. And I just appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I love sharing our story here in Ingleside ISD. We have an amazing district, an amazing community, and we like to pride ourselves on being a district of champions. And we have the students and the community behind us, and I'm really excited about our continued future here.
Keep it up. Keep it up, Scott. Keep it up.